The Rush Hour Podcast, smelling amazing. For once, support your team with an AFL or NRL fragrance for just $19.99 each from Chemist Warehouse.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to sit here every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, Sydney summer has arrived, MG. I know it's only the 12th of September, but I'm declaring it. You're there in your singlet shirt.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You got the cannons out.
I was in the pool today. First swim of the, not summer because it's only still spring, but it was 31 degrees in Penrith today and the water was beautiful.
Lathering the baby oil up?
Oh, no. No. Slip, slop, slap, brother.
Absolutely. Happy hump day, everybody. We have got lots to get through tonight. There is never a dull moment in rugby league, is there, MG?
Well, there is a, just when you think you've seen it all, you open up your pages and your eyes to a new day, and something else pops itself up, especially in rugby league.
Absolutely. Plenty going on, both good and bad, with the rugby league players at the moment. And we got the boss of the Players Association, Ian Prendergast, will join us at 6:15. We'll be interested to get his take on Josh Dugan's press conference yesterday, the emotional state of some of the key players in the game. Matt Moylan from the Sharks will join us just after 6:30 ahead of the blockbuster final between the Sharkies and the Panthers on Friday night at Allianz Stadium, MG.
Yeah, and there's a breaking story at the moment which involves Tyrone Peachey, who we're hearing he wants to go to get out of his job, his contract at the Titans. Mm. We're hearing the Titans have dug their heels in. Michelle Bishop on Channel 7 News tonight has spoken one-on-one with him, which was waiting for a link to that to come through from that interview. But apparently, Tyrone Peachey's saying, look, I don't know what all the fuss is about. I'm actually going to the Titans. So we'll hear more in a minute.
Who says players don't have great relationships with journalists? Look at you and your relationships with Michelle Bishop at Channel 7. Don't forget...
Fellow Mount Druitt girl, we've got to stick together.
Yeah, the Westies have got to stay tight. Don't forget, when you hear the trumpet tonight on the show, call 133353 and you could be joining MG and I in our private suite at Rosehill Gardens on September 22nd. Plus, we have $100 cash from our mates at Pizza Hut to give away with MG Smartass. Wait until you've heard all three of the audio clues before you give us a ring with the sporting year and the sporting moment. But MG, up next.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk Tyrone Peachey.
We have.
Should the Titans dig the heels in? Has the media got it wrong?
We'll soon find out.
It's the Rush Hour with MG. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. MG. Chemist Warehouse is the home of real brands and real savings. And this footy finals season, you can head on in to Chemist Warehouse and score an AFL or NRL team fragrance for just $19.99.
Well, this is the part where you usually ask me what's type of team and their fragrance. Well, I'm going to ask you, Mr. Titan. Titans are in the news at the minute with Tyrone Peachey going there, maybe not going there. What is the Titans fragrance?
It's the smell of sun cream. It's the smell of sun cream and surfboard wax.
Oh, I love that smell.
Yeah, it's a good fragrance.
Oh, yeah.
Again, as always, if you want to know what the Titans fragrance actually smells like, head on into Chemist Warehouse. It's the home of real brands and real savings. We are just standing by for a little bit of audio from MG's media friends around the Tyrone Peachey saga. It's being reported currently that he has confirmed today he wants out of his three-year deal that he has signed with the Gold Coast Titans starting next season. We're standing by on that. So, in the meantime, MG, last night we saw the youngest ever winner of the Players' Champion Award, Kalyn Ponga, voted by his peers the best player in the game. Did you like the result?
Yeah, I did. It was surprising, I must confess. But look, when the players vote, you just can't deny the outcome. And it's the players' vote that counts. And we thought we'd get the boss of the players, the RLPA, on. It's our first time we've spoken to our next guest, but we thought we'd get him on, Liam, for a nice long chat.
Absolutely. The Chief Executive of the Rugby League Players Association, Ian Prendergast. Welcome to the Rush Hour with MG.
No worries, gents. Thanks for having me.
How did the awards go last night? I mean, MG and I were a little bit disappointed we didn't get a Guernsey. They must have been lost in the mail, but a good night?
It was a great night all round. We had a good turnout of players, and we've really tried to elevate the event in recent years, and I think, last night that shone through.
I've got to say, JT, Jonathan Thurston, declared it the event, the award he most valued because it was voted by his peers, and you've absolutely nailed the trophy. I reckon that Players' Champion Award is one of the best-looking trophies in any sport in Australia. Explain to me the voting process, if you can. Kalyn Ponga won the award last night. Is this something the players vote on throughout the year, or is it just a one-off ballot at the season's end?
Yeah, we actually changed the voting system this year to ensure that all players have a say as to who the ultimate players' champion is. Just on the trophy, there's actually a lot of thought that's gone into the design of that. It's based on the iconic sort of fist raising of Jonathan Thurston, who's won it four times.
Wow.
But also the incident involving Peter Norman and the two US American sprinters back in the day where they made that stance for human rights.
Wow, interesting. You've been with the Players Association for a few years now and you're starting to make some changes. It's good to see the players finally getting a voice, and none more so last year with the collective bargaining that you got across the line. Players financially in the game have never been better, but I must say emotionally at the minute, a lot of them seem to be on tenterhooks. What things have the RLPA got in place as far as the emotional status of rugby league players go?
Yeah, I think it's a great point. You know, players are under more scrutiny than they've ever been, and it's something we're really conscious of. The wellbeing and education partnership that we've got with the NRL is really, really critical in terms of supporting players holistically. And we know that the players are organised off-field. They not only play better on it, but they actually cope better with the demands that they're under. So there's a small percentage of players who are really meaningful off-field. And we know, based on the evidence and the experience we have firsthand with the players, that that's really important. But I guess the point you're alluding to is the media scrutiny that they're under and how relentless that can be. And it's something we're pretty conscious of at the moment. What we'd like to do is just start to rebuild that trust between the players and the media. So it's a really balanced approach because we understand that, you know, players need to be held accountable for their actions, but they are people first and they're going to make mistakes. So there needs to be a little bit more balance at times around the coverage of those issues.
Since the NRL introduced the alcohol management strategy, I think back in 2009, there's been a drop in off-field indiscretions by rugby league players by 80%. We saw a very raw interview yesterday from Josh Dugan, who basically after 30 or 40 seconds of an interview was reduced to tears. And it was raw. It was real. I'm wondering what kind of partnership the RLPA can have with the broadcasters of the game, the TV networks, the newspapers, about doing something like you just said about the 84% of players who do something meaningful. For instance, on a Monday, I'd love to go to a page in one of the papers, or I'd love to see something on the news that says, by the way, this, or not the news, but one of the footy shows that there are a lot of on TV at the moment, where it says, this week the Parramatta Eels will be at this school, they'll be at that charity, and this player will be doing this and that. That way the player doesn't have to pump his own tyres up, but the club can pump his tyres up.
The challenge around what players are doing in the community is, you know, getting them to help tell that story. A lot of them are doing it for the right reasons, and therefore they're not that interested in the public recognition around what that looks like. And so I think there's just a bit of a disconnect at the moment, and you saw that come through when Josh spoke in that. Yeah, he's doing some great things off field to try and shift this perception of him, and he wouldn't have been proud of the podcast with Andrew Fafina. Yeah, he acknowledges that. You know, he's had to cop his whack as a result, but we do need some balance around everything else he's doing in his life to ensure that people understand that. Yeah, at the core, he's not a bad person.
And, well, we've got you. And look, we'd love to make this as a regular type gig because I think we need to hear a lot more from the RLPA as far as things go. And obviously, you know what you're talking about. And I think that your voice should be heard a lot more as well on the advances that you're making in the game because of the players. Tyrone Peachey today has come out and said that he doesn't want to go to the Titans anymore. He doesn't want to fulfil his three-year deal. Where's the RLPA stand on that matter? Do they back Tyrone, or do they say the Titans, well, is it bad luck?
I guess the starting point from our point of view is that, you know, a contract's a contract. outside of that, if there are circumstances that need to be discussed between the parties, then that needs to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. So I can't comment on that one specifically, but I'm sure that it'll play out in due course.
You know what, Ian? I was just saying to Liam before the show, I said, you know what, we used to, when I played, and I know every time I talk, I don't want to sound like a dinosaur, but we used to go, so most journos, 75% of journos after a game, would come into our dressing sheds after a game and have a beer with us. Then go and write their stories, and then it's kind of, we need, I think at the moment the disconnect between players and the media is at an all time low, and we've got to do something to get that back.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And that, I think you know, if we can build a stronger relationship between the two parties, then away we go, and there's a much measured approach.
Ian, fantastic to chat. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the weekend of footy.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Ian Prendergast, the Chief Executive of the Rugby League Players Association, MG. It sounds like he's on board with your idea for them to supply some beers for the players and journos in the rooms after matches.
Oh, man. Well, honestly, that's so true. We used to, you know, the journos would come in, they'd go to each player, they'd ask us a few questions, we'd give them a few answers, then we'd say, let's have a beer together, and, you know, by the way, you're going to have the club later for a couple of drinks.
It seems like, because that's a lot of players have spoken about, that's disappeared from the cricket culture a little bit as well. The players used to do that in the change rooms afterwards.
Look, I think, you know, and again, my last year was in 2000. So back when I was playing, we had a coach, we had a trainer, we had a manager, we had a couple of gear stewards. Now they've got 50, now there's the coaches and staff outnumber the players. So you're told what to do exactly. Well, as soon as you get off the field, they give you your food, they give you your protein, and that's why players are bigger and stronger and faster these days.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. All right, MG, we've got to get to the matter of the day. Tyrone Peachy, does he want out of Penrith? It's what a lot of people are reporting, but you've got a bit of audio that suggests otherwise.
Does he want out of the Titans?
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Or does he want out of Penrith?
Maybe not. Who's on first?
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Make sure you keep listening for that trumpet sound when you do, 133353, and you could be joining MG and I in our private suite at Rosehill Gardens for DeBortley Wine's Golden Rosedale on September 22nd. Remember, you can leave boring behind and escape to the Everest Carnival from the 8th of September to the 13th of October at Royal Randwick and Rosehill Gardens. Book at theraces.com.au.
Trending now.
All right, MG, let's get to the bottom of this. Reports have come out today. Tyrone Peachy has done an all-in media session at Panthers training.
Yep.
And what has been gleaned from that by the outlets is that he wants out of the 3-year deal he has signed at the Titans.
Yeah, and we've had a discussion before the show about, you know, what would that mean to the Titans. We just spoke to Ian Prendergast about the same thing. And look, and we've actually heard straight from the horse's mouth, which has got some audio there, Liam.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in just a moment, MG, because the reports came out that he said, I love this club, referring to Penrith. They gave me this opportunity to play consistent first grade, and yep, I wouldn't have left if I didn't have to. We've just built in Penrith, and the missus is real comfortable in that place. I spoke to my manager and told him what I want to happen. Now, those are the quotes that have led the media to suggest he wants out of his deal.
Even just before we came on the show, we've heard reports that Tyrone Peachy's instructed his manager to look for other Sydney clubs, because now that he realises, or we're led to believe that he realised, that Penrith can't accommodate him. So please, I think, I'm not sure who his manager is, but
Sam Ayoub is his manager.
Sammy, go and check, you know, see the Tigers, see the Eels, see the Roosters, see all the Sydney clubs. But now, the audio we're about to play you kind of says, let's put this to bed, because he's going nowhere.
So this is from Michelle Bishop at Channel 7. The full story, this full interview with Tyrone Peachy, will air tonight at 6:45. This is Michelle speaking to Tyrone about that media conference and the speculation he does not want to go to the Gold Coast next year.
A bit crazy what happened today in the media. They're all saying that I'm staying, but I got a contract near Goldie and I'm heading up there.
So there's no confusion?
No confusion. I think they just might have misread it.
No confusion, they just might have misread it.
Okay, Titans fans can relax. The Peach is on his way, and I'd be very shocked if he didn't honour his Titans contract.
That is a significant verbal commitment off the back of a day of speculation that he doesn't want to go there, for him to sit down with Michelle Bishop from Channel 7 and say, no, the media are confused here, I'm going to be at the Gold Coast next year.
Yeah, it's confusing. confusing. That's kind of not what you want to be talking about 2 days out from a major semi-final. And I'm pretty sure the Peach doesn't want to be talking about this. I'm not sure where the interview has spiraled and why the tentacles have reached here and reached there, and this person's grabbed that and this person's grabbed that, and all of a sudden he's doing a 360 on his deal at the Titans. Well, if I heard right just then with that interview, he's going nowhere. So let's put it to bed and tuck him in with his nice little pillow and his blankie and say, good night, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite.
Well, Matt Logue from the Daily Telegraph tweeted this afternoon that Penrith CEO Brian Fletcher confirmed that the club cannot fit Tyrone Peachey under the salary cap if he did decide to stay in Sydney. Brent Reed, Triple M's very own, Brent Reed from The Australian, said that Gold Coast Titans are saying if Tyrone Peachey doesn't want to honour his contract, he can sit on the sidelines. Could get ugly. So all those responses and all those media reports are secondary now because Tyrone Peachey confirmed he's going to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, reportedly on $600,000 a year, which is good coin, and I believe he wants to play 5'8 at the Titans. So the Titans are getting a real good one. I tell you, he's just come straight off an Origin series where he didn't play much footy, but the experience he gained by being in that squad and winning that that series is going to be profound for the Titans.
We just spoke to Ian Prendergast, the boss of the Rugby League Players Association, and you asked how did the interview get to this point? How did it get to the point where people were questioning whether he would go to the Gold Coast? It's this ability to sign on before the end of the season, MG. If this wasn't in place, guess what they wouldn't be asking him about in this interview? They wouldn't be asking these questions.
You know what? It's Nathan Cleary's November 1. There's a lot of other people November 1. There's maybe we've got to, you know, look at something where we have this. Look, as I said on this show many times, I found out when I was in Perth in 1997, the end of 97, in the last week of October, that we were folding as a club. And me and my wife, within 3 weeks, and our two young children had packed up and come back to Penrith. Sure, I had to make a lot of phone calls to different clubs, and in the end, Penrith were basically the only one who would take me back, and I'm so glad they did. But in that same time, Liam, Melbourne Storm were spawned, and they took 12 of our players from the Western Reds to their club, and they got a host of other players. They made the semis that year. So no one could, if anyone says to me, look, we need time to do this and do that, you don't need time. You got 4 or 5 months in the off season to get time,
absolutely.
And if that means no more disruption through the year with both player and coach movements, well, so be it. Because let's have some massive fines going forward. Let's sit down with the good brains of this game that there is and say, look, if someone tries to negotiate with this player and gets caught doing it, this is the fine I'll get.
Absolutely, MG. What happens when you're given a deadline? You're forced to work to it. If you told these agents and these players, hey, you have a 4-month window at the end of each season where you negotiate your deals, guess where they'll get those deals done?
How much work do you reckon is going to go on to Nathan Cleary November 1? But you know what? The comp's over, so we don't care.
It's the Rush Hour with MG.
Leave boring behind and escape to the Everest Carnival, September 8 to October 13 at Royal Randwick and Rosehill Gardens. Book at theraces.com.au. Oh.
Triple M. The Triple M Rush Hour with MG's exclusive private Golden Rose Day.
MG, our stable is almost complete for our private suite at Rosehill Garden, September 22nd.
It's definitely filling up.
And today, we are proud to add to it Michelle from Glenwood.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. I'm so excited.
Michelle, we always ask, who's the lucky person you'll be bringing along with you?
My husband. We have not been on a date, let's say, for 2 years.
Oh, well, what's his name?
Doug.
Dougie and Michelle from Glenwood.
Cannot wait to get Doug and Michelle into the VIP suite with us at Rosehill Garden. Michelle, we're also going to throw $100 cash your way. Maybe you can buy Doug something nice for the first date in 2 years.
I think I definitely will. He deserves something very special.
You both sound like you do. Can't wait to see yous and meet yous next weekend.
I look forward to it so much. Thank you.
Congratulations, Michelle. Couple more chances. MG, two more chances
Thursday
this week.
Thursday and Friday, yeah.
To join
yeah.
us in so, our VIP suite.
So if you're listening, get your motor running, man.
Hey, Matt Moylan from the Cronulla Sharks joins us next. The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9, Triple M. MG, our first ever guest, Charlotte Caslick, going to join us very shortly in the studio, Rugby 7 superstar. And we have $100 cash up for grabs thanks to our friends at Pizza Hut. You've got to tell us what sporting event and in what year that sporting event was from based on the three audio clues we play you. Here's audio clue number one.
And for those who haven't seen this young man play, prodigious talent, extremely dangerous down the left side of the field.
Okay.
Ooh.
Voice of Peter Sterling there.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't give us much, though.
No.
Friday night, MG, Allianz Stadium. You and I will be there on air from 6 o'clock at the ground. We'll have the full call of the Sharkies taking on the Panthers. 7:40 kickoff. You can hear it right here on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. And amazingly, it's going to be, is it installment number 3 of the Maloney Moylan Cup?
It is. So far, 2-0 to the Sharkies.
Flying. And this man, well, he was part of that trade, and he's sitting very nicely with the Cronulla Sharks, first year at the club. Matt Moylan, welcome to the Rush Hour with MG.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Moisa, mate. You've had a fantastic year at the Sharkies. How have you acclimatised to life on the beach, my brother?
Yeah, it's good. It's pretty cruisy out here. Good lifestyle to be a part of, so really, really enjoy my time here so far, but yeah, important one for us this weekend.
Yeah, it's a massive game. We spoke to Trent Merrin yesterday, and you know, he said that the goosebumps start once the semi-finals come around. That's a different competition altogether, and I imagine the Sharkies are feeling the same way.
Yeah, definitely. I think everything around training and around the club environment sort of picks up, and the intensity grows in that first week of the finals. And it's been the same this week, knowing that it's a pretty important clash to keep our season alive. And we've got a few players that are on at the end of the year, and obviously Louis retiring, so we want to send them out in a positive note.
Hey, Matt, when you made the switch at the end of last year, and we jokingly referred to it as the Moylan Maloney Cup, did you ever think you'd get to this stage of the season and be facing it against your old team?
I didn't really think that far ahead, but I suppose it was always a possibility. You look at both sides, that you'd think that it's going to be playing in the finals, and it might happen. So yeah, probably a bit of a scriptwriter's dream, I guess.
Has there been any banter with any of your old teammates at Penrith?
No, there hasn't been. I haven't spoken to any of them this week. I was out there last week and sat dinner with Dean Farre, but I don't think either of us realised that if the games went the way they did, that we were going to be playing each other.
Matt, yesterday the press conference after your training session with Josh Dugan, it's been all over the papers and the TV stations. Did you know that Dugs sort of had that weight on him with the perception of him in the public eye?
Not so much. I suppose he does a lot of work that goes unnoticed. I think he personally just wants to change the perception that everyone has on him. I think he does a lot of work to change that, but it goes unrecognised. So I think it was something that he just wanted to get out there, and hopefully it's a good thing for him and us as a team that he's got it off his chest and he can move forward.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, mate. You know, you've talking about perception, you might be living on the beaches, but as you said in the paper today, you're definitely a Westie. You've just relocated.
Yeah, pretty hard. I was living out there for 26 years, so.
Well, hey, you're always one of us, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Despite what the all year and the all year round tan he's rolling with now. Hey, Matt Moylan from the Cronulla Sharks. Best of luck for the game Friday night.
Cheers, guys.
Matty Moylan there, he's going to be a key ingredient in that game on Friday night, MG, Allianz Stadium.
Intriguing, the two number sixes, I can't wait to see them. We'll be there watching the game live.
Coverage from 6 will be at Allianz Stadium. Here is clue number 2 for MG's smart ass. $100 cash up for grabs.
Tom Trbojevic.
Ooh.
Wow, what was that?
I'll play it one more time for you.
Tom Trbojevic.
Ooh.
All right.
What's Origin? Rabbi. Rabbi's calling one of the Turbo Brothers. I still don't commute.
All right. We've got one more clue to come. And when you've heard that third and final clue, 133-53, $100 cash up for grabs. Charlotte Caslick, MG,
is in the house.
The Rugby 7 superstar, our first ever in studio guest on the Rush Hour with MG, will join us next.
More listeners from Penrith than any other show. And that's just his family. The Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And here is clue number 3 you need to win $100 cash thanks to our friends at Pizza Hut with MG Smartass. We need you to tell us what sporting event and from what year the three audio clues relate to.
68 minutes gone. And a four-point ball game.
Here
he goes in one side, comes out the other. Can he make it? No.
Ooh, MG, do you know what it is?
I certainly do.
Good, because I don't. Now, quickly, there's a lot of traffic on our social media, at Rush Hour Triple M, around Tyrone Peachey's story, MG,
that there is.
He wanted to go back on his contract with the Titans that he signed starting from next year, a
yep.
three-year deal.
Yep.
He's obviously copping a lot of negative flack. Michelle Bishop from Channel 7 had an exclusive interview with him this afternoon after this media press conference, which started this whole storm. And here is a grab from that story about Tyrone and sticking with the contract that he signed with the Gold Coast Titans.
A bit crazy what happened today in the media. They're all saying that I'm staying, but I got a contract in Goldie and I'm heading up there.
So there's no confusion?
No confusion. I think they just might have misread it.
Well, there is a little bit of confusion because these stories don't just spring up out of the ground like a tomato. It's I suppose people got the wrong idea. And I think and he's got a young family building a house in Penrith as we speak. And maybe they got a little bit of itchy feet. But I can probably almost guarantee the Titans fans that he'll be arriving on the coast probably just before Christmas, and he'll be ready, willing, and able.
So maybe back off your criticism if you are having a go at Tyrone Peachey, because as he pointed out there, he will be seeing through his deal with the Gold Coast Titans. But MG, moving on, because joining us now, she was the breakout star of the Women's Rugby Sevens gold medal at the Olympics, and she joins us in studio. She's a friend of the show, our first ever in-studio guest, Charlotte Caslick. Welcome back to the Rush Hour with MG.
I feel honoured.
Well, you're welcome back because you've just returned to Australia. You've just spent a week in Laos, and now World Rugby and Child Fund have teamed up ahead of the Rugby World Cup next year. Going to be raising funds all the way through for the Pass It Back program. Talk to us about what that's about.
Yeah, so over in Laos and a lot of Southeast Asia, they've started Pass It Back through Child Fund, and they just run rugby programs, but they teach them a lot about life skills, so about violence and communication skills, and made me really appreciate my situation back here.
It's amazing, isn't it, where sport these days can take people. I bet you 15 years ago when you were a young girl, growing up, playing your sport, you could never imagine that you'd be in Laos teaching young kids about, just the values of life. It's just such a good story.
Yeah, it was. And to get there on the first day and see girls wearing their hair in braids, and they knew who I was, and they had YouTube videos out watching our team play. Over there, they think it's a girl's sport because it was so new to the country, and when it got introduced, the boys hadn't played it either. So the girls just took it under their wing as their own, and now they've got over 50% of their players and coaches are all female.
I wondered whether you've had a keen interest on the WNRL, which has just started. Four teams in the women's NRL, and a little birdie tells me that one of them clubs might have been after your contract.
Yeah, I had a little chat with the Broncos, and it was great to see them get a big win on the weekend. I was definitely watching, and I've got a lot of mates that are playing in the WNRL, so very keen watcher, but I think I'll just put it on the back burner for a while, and maybe post 2020 my doors open for new opportunities.
Obviously the Broncos expressed interest, and if you had a bit of a chat with them, was there a moment where you thought, rugby league, let's go now, this is a brand new competition that they've launched, I want to be in from the get-go?
Yeah, I guess it's in front of an Australian market, which we don't get to play in front of very often, so that part of it was really exciting. I think just the quality of rugby sevens at the moment is just so far ahead because we're full-time and we're playing so regularly that we get the game time and experience out there, whereas the WNRL only had the four games to offer at the moment. But I'm sure it's going to grow, and with a sport like rugby league and the backing that Australia will give it, it's not going to miss a beat, and I think in the next couple of years it's just going to really take off.
Charlotte Caslick, thank you so much for coming back in again. You are always welcome on the Rush Hour with MG. In fact, I think we had when we had our 100th show, MG, we had Charlotte penciled in the top five moments of the year far.
Yes, we did.
For being our first in-studio guest. So thank you very much. And congratulations on the work you're doing with the Pass It Back program through Child Fund and World Rugby. It's a terrific initiative. And you're going to be raising funds all the way through to next year's World Cup in Japan. Charlotte, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime.
Charlotte Kaslick, an absolute superstar. MG, let's do this.
MG's Smart Ask.
$100 cash up for grabs thanks to our friends at Pizza Hut. Ribs versus wings in the footy feed only at Pizza Hut. You need to be able to tell us what the sporting event and from what year those three audio clues we played you relate to. Bill from Bexley.
Hey, boys, how's it going?
Hello, Billy from Bexley. How are you, my friend? What's that moment?
Mate, State of Origin Game 2, Caelan Ponga's debut game this year.
Well, look at all the kids in from their little excursion. They love Bill from Bexley because he's got it right. And Billy, you've got 100 clams, my friend.
Go to Saints.
Beautiful, Bill. Congratulations. MG, we are out of time. Tomorrow on the show, Anthony Seibold, coach of the Rabbitohs, will join us, and Phil Davis, the co-captain of the GWS Giants as well.
Can't wait. He's Liam. I'm MG. Stay random, Sydney.
The Rush Hour podcast is about to hit the showers, smelling good, by supporting your team with an AFL or NRL fragrance for just $19.99 each from Chemist Warehouse.